Father, what a joy that we can just sing and worship and acknowledge you. What a joy, Father, to know the truth that we are known by you. And we want to thank you. Jesus, thank you for your blood that redeemed us. Thank you for your blood that purchased us out of the power of darkness and sin and brought us into this incredible family of God, into your kingdom. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, when you went back, you asked the Father for the Holy Spirit, and what a privilege to be able to receive Holy Spirit, Almighty God, dwelling within this body of ours. Awesome truth. The power of your blood, the power of the gift of righteousness, that you, Holy Spirit, can come and make your dwelling in us, so that the Father and the Son can fully abide within us. So we want to thank you, Father, as again this morning you share with us. We receive your grace and truth to help us to understand, to help us to get insight, to help us to respond, to help us to really take hold of what you are sharing and to walk in it and to get established in what you are sharing with us as your family. Hallowed be your name, Father. Let your name be glorified here. Your kingdom come and your will be done. And this we ask in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm going to continue a little bit from where we left off on last week. And so a lot of it is just recapping and just building upon where I believe God is, where he's got us, how he's leading us, and for us to just connect the dots a bit and just to see what he's been sharing with us over the past couple of weeks so that we can truly embrace and allow that truth to be established within us. Last Sunday, we had a look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9 and 10. And we read over there as Paul is sharing just about his experience with God's grace. And I'm going to just recap that. And he speaks about, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach and this is what you believe." And we spent a little bit of time last Sunday just really realizing that for each and every one of us, God, we were saved by grace. So we've experienced God's grace, but the Bible speaks about grace upon grace. And there's an increase of growing in this grace of God, learning to be strong in his grace, growing in his grace, getting established in his grace, but also working with the grace. God's incredible ability, his power, God's involvement in our lives, working with everything that God has provided for us so that we can really live to our true potential, as Paul says in Philippians 3, that not that I've taken hold of all this yet, but I press in to be able to take hold of everything that Christ took hold of for me. And that's a desire. That's what the Holy Spirit is stirring within us, to realize everything that Jesus did for you and I, for us to be able to press in with the grace of God to take hold of that and to live in that which Christ took hold of for our lives. And that is what we were looking at last Sunday. And I'll share with you, as we go on, the depth of this. And maybe you might be finding a stirring within your own life right now where this could be quite frightening because it goes beyond our own comfort zones. And he's taking us deeper, in a deeper depth of surrender for us to be able to really say, okay, everything that you have done, the grace that's upon our lives, that grace, I want to grow into that. And that means I'm going to move out of my own ability and my own logic, my own safety measures, all this kind of things that we built around us, and is going to be challenging. And that brings in a prayer that we will look at, that Paul prays, that we, I think it's an important prayer for us at this time. So we're going to come back to this. I want to go to Matthew chapter 7 quickly, where we spent some time previously, but just to recap a little bit as we build on this morning. Yeah, we had a look when Jesus speaks about the narrow gate, and he carries on, and we looked at his teaching on the tree and its fruit. And he says over here, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. And that was important for us to grasp. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree that bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And so he is sharing about how to identify these false prophets. He's sharing that a false prophet cannot produce good fruit. Okay? And he's sharing with us to look beyond the natural and to discover and to discern the condition of a person's heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he's helping us to recognize, to see and to understand something and not be deceived by just people's words. And then he carries on, and so he's helping us to realize that. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Very important. Only he who does the will of my Father. Okay. Remember, Jesus speaks about this when he's answering the question when the disciples are, show us the Father. And he says to the disciples, listen, you've seen the Father. You've seen, because the Father is in me, and the Father is working. I'm doing the will of my Father. And so the works of my Father is being displayed. That's the good fruit that you and I are called to produce. Abiding in Christ, his word abiding in us, and we will bear much fruit. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Whatever we ask for in his name, he will answer it so that the Father is glorified. So we realize there that when we get born again, something takes place. We are now, because we are now rooted in Christ, we are in a union with God, the supernatural miracle of oneness that is beyond our comprehension. But by the Holy Spirit, there's a connection, there's a union with our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's his life in us. But the key is for you and I to listen and to do the will of the Father. Because we want to grow and we want to take hold of everything. We want to work with the grace that God has given to us. And that requires the abiding and obeying, doing the will of the Father. And so Jesus then says over here, not anyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform miracles. See, Jesus sees the heart. What's the condition of the heart? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And so we asked ourselves the question, how can we be sure that we are known by God? How can we be sure that when we die, we're not going to stand and Jesus is going to say, well, you preached on every Sunday, you did this, you prayed this, you did that, but I don't know you. And that's quite a sobering thought. And so we had a look at the reality of the foundation that we can be sure that we are known by God because by faith, the grace that God gave to you and I to believe and to know that what Christ did is so real, and by faith we received. Remember Romans 10, It speaks about over there that when we believe with our heart that Jesus is raised from the dead and we confess with our mouth that he is Lord, that moment when we got born again, we entered into the reality of the redeeming blood of Christ that redeemed us, that purchased us. And that is why we know that we belong to him, because his blood has purchased us and we belong to God. We are known by him. And this is why it's so important for you and I to appreciate what Christ did and be secure in the fact by the faith that God birthed within us. His blood has redeemed us. His blood paid the price and purchased us. And we spent quite a bit of time with that. And then we quickly looked at Revelation chapter 5 just to reinforce that. But I'm going to read this again because it connects to you and I understanding the grace and how to work with the grace of God. What this grace of God empowers us to do. And so here there's a song in heaven in Revelation 5 verse 9. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased people for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. So here we see there what the blood of Christ has done. But notice, he has made us to be a kingdom of priests. He, through the blood of Christ, purchasing us, and now we've entered into our vocation, if you want to call it. We've entered into our destiny. He has made us. Already done deal. He has made us to be a kingdom and priest so that we can really serve our God. If we don't connect that, that's our calling, that's our purpose. We live in the kingdom of God. We've been born again. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. Okay, but only he who does the will of God will enter in the kingdom of God. Now that we've given our lives to Jesus, he has made us into this kingdom of priests. And therefore, now we need to understand the grace of God upon our lives is empowering us to live and to be who Jesus made us to be. So we think differently. The unsaved doesn't think about the things of God. We do. The unsaved person doesn't have a desire to bring glory to God. We do. See, we're different. We're in a kingdom. It's the evidence of what God did. It's evidence of a heart that's been born again. It's an evidence of the good fruit that's in us, the truth of God within us. And so we have a desire for the things of God. We don't think like the rest of the world. When things are going wrong there, we don't think of running away. We think of they need to be born again. We think differently. Okay. We have the mind of Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his son so that people can be born again. That's how we think, and that's we begin. And the grace of God is upon us to be able to live out our mandate as a kingdom and priest that he has made us to be. We've been purchased with his blood. For this very purpose. We belong to him. Okay, so that straight away begins to help us to understand now. This grace that God has given to you and I, as we begin to accept that and grow in that and take hold of that and get to the place where we realize, but Lord, Yah requires a deeper surrender than ever before. So that I can bring glory to your name. So that I can live my life that truly reflects what your son did on the cross for me. That is why it's so crucial to go right back to the very foundation that we died with Christ Jesus. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in us. We died with him. We've been raised with him to live this new life. You see, this is the foundational truth for us as believers to really be rooted and established in so that we live our lives based on who we are now in our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, we think differently. We've been speaking a lot about strongholds And I can guarantee you, let's go into the life of Jesus for a moment. Matthew 14, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Now Jesus John the Baptist has just been beheaded. And Jesus hears about it and he withdraws. And now Jesus goes to a place and the crowds follow him. And he's full of compassion, and so he's healing the people, and he's teaching them. And the disciples come to him and say, "Lord, we must send them away now because it's time for them to go, and they need to go and buy food, etc." And then Jesus says, "No, they don't need to go. You feed them." Now imagine you and I in that place, and Jesus says to you and I, feed them. Imagine now, you and I, in our workplace, you and I, in our towns that we're in, and Jesus says something to you and I that's beyond our ability. What will the arguments be? That's a stronghold. Because we're trying to protect ourselves. But that argument, that all those excuses that we come up with is the evidence of the stronghold, and these are the things that's preventing us from growing in grace. Because we're holding on to these excuses, these safety nets that we have built around to justify why not to go deeper into the fullness of grace upon grace, but just to stay at our current level. The Holy Spirit is challenging us because it's the Father's will as He's pruning us for us to bear more fruit. This is His will. We have been predestined to be conformed into the likeness of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's His will for our lives. And the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. So it might be uncomfortable for us at this time, but it's very, very important for us to understand this. It's fascinating in John chapter 5, where, let me read John 5 quickly, where Jesus is being challenged again, but he says something very profound. He said, "My Father is always at work, and I too am at work." In John 5, I'm going to read there verse 17. "My Father," because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, "My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working. And for this reason, the Jews tried to kill Him," etc., and He carries on over there. But what's interesting here is that Jesus continues and He says over there that "My Father loves Me and will continue to share more and show what He's doing to Me." Now let's go back to where we left off a few weeks back in John chapter 15, where we saw over there that no greater love than this than to lay down your life for a friend. "And I've called you My friends." So now we begin to realize this. Before that, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved Me, so I love you." And Jesus says, "As the Father loves Me, and so He shares more with Me so that I can bear more fruit and be involved with what He wants to do. Only he who does the will of My Father." We can do the will of the Father up to here. But now the Holy Spirit's saying, "No, there's more grace." And that's going to mean you're going to come off out of the boat and walk on the water a bit now. So it's a faith reality that we're being challenged in our lives. So here we see Jesus speaking, and he goes on, he says, "Now, if you obey Me, you are My friend." And as we looked at that there, that's the consequences of you and I grasping this great love, living in this great love. Because when we know that someone loves us so much, is laying down his life and what Christ has done, what he says to you and I, we will be fools not to listen to him. He's so good, and what he's sharing is life, it's truth, it's for our benefit to live a true life as a son of God, as a child of God, as a woman of God. And so, if we will be stupid not to obey. So it's because of this great love and us living in the reality of this great love, we obey him. Only he who does the will of my Father, the evidence of a heart that has been transformed, the evidence of Christ's life within us, is our response out of love in obedience to him. This was going to require a deeper sense of surrender than we've ever experienced before. So we had a look at that. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, there's a prayer that Paul prays. Before we get there, we all know Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. Fascinating parable. Well known, and it's so easy to miss out so much that the Holy Spirit is sharing. And so Jesus is saying, he's telling the parable, and it's about the heart, and it's about the Word of God. And what takes place, the opposition against the word of God that has been sown into our hearts. And that word is about the kingdom of God. And his disciples ask, why do you speak in parables? And then Jesus says, blessed are you because you see and you hear. And because you have taken hold of what I'm teaching and you by faith have received, you're going to get much, much more. So much more. But those who do not want to receive that which was put into them will be taken away from them. Why? Because they're forever hearing, they're forever seeing, they're forever listening, but nothing happens because they've hardened their hearts. Their hearts have become callous. In other words, their hearts have become thick because of them continually rejecting the truth of God. Only he, we don't want to be that kind of people. As the Holy Spirit shares with them, we don't want to be people that are getting thick hearts and are not sensitive to God anymore. We don't want to be. We want to be those that receive and say, yes, Lord. We hear and we will respond and obey you. We don't want to be that group of people that keep on hearing, because as that parable goes, Jesus says now, this is what it means, that the moment that that word is sown, because the hearts are hardened, because of continually rejecting the truth of God, the enemy comes and steals. And what was put there is removed. They've lost it. But then it also carries on in the conditions of the worries of the world and all those kind of things. But there's the place where there's a good heart that bears much fruit, because there's a practice, there's a lifestyle of hearing and responding out of love for Jesus. The heart is good. And then it starts to produce fruit. Fruit that gives life, everlasting fruit. The good heart, the obedience, the abiding in him, his word abiding in us, we will bear much fruit. Same thing that Jesus is sharing there in the parable of the sower. So we've noticed over there that as you and I are now in the place, in the time of 2025, you and I are at this place where the Holy Spirit has shown a scripture concerning the grace of God, and to be able to receive it, and to be able to walk in it, and able to grow in it, and to be able to really work with everything that God's grace has provided, we don't have an excuse. Now you and I, we're in the place where we can reject, or we can know. And the good news is that when we say yes, God has made provision to help us. And that's the prayer that Paul prayed that I want to have a look at. The more we know the love of Christ, the more we get to the place where we can easily just say yes, because we know what he's sharing. It is so, so good for us. We don't have to resist it. And so we don't want to be in the practice of hearing the Holy Spirit and coming up with all kinds of excuses. No, 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 no. We want to hear. We may not really understand, but we now get understanding. We spend the time to get understanding so that that word gets established within us and we walk in that truth. Jesus often said, he who has ears, let him hear. The Bible never separates hearing and obedience. No, that goes together. He who hears, obey. They go together. It's not just hearing. Those that harden their heart keep on hearing, 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 but they never obeyed. And Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only he who does the will, who hears by faith, and then begins to respond by faith. Faith without works is dead. In other words. So Jesus is helping us to really realize the moment that we're in, the body of Christ here in 2025. To grasp this, the reality, to grasp that he made us into a kingdom and priests, and to know that he's provided everything for us to be able to live what he has taken hold of for our lives. So in Ephesians chapter 3, first of all, just to put the context in it, we see there in chapter 1 how Paul speaks about the amazing reality. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. So we know our destiny. He's chosen us to be holy and blameless. Okay, so we know the Holy Spirit's working in our lives in so that that becomes very, very real. But it's a reality in Christ Jesus. And then he carries on and he speaks about through that in him we have redemption through the blood and the forgiveness of sins according to God's riches of his grace. And then he's speaking now to the Jews and the Gentiles, but particularly to the Gentiles in chapter 2. And he begins to speak and says to the Gentiles, but you too have now been included in the family of God. You too, by the Holy Spirit, are now citizens of the kingdom of God. And he's busy now sharing the reality that the Gentiles are also by the Holy Spirit have been brought into Christ Jesus. And together, he goes on, now we all have access to the same Father by the Holy Spirit. So that's chapter 2, okay? And then he goes on and he begins to share over here. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. For this reason, I pour. See, then he goes and he says, for this reason, just based on what he has been sharing about the Jews and the Gentiles and how now we have all become a dwelling in which the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us. And then he breaks from that and he shares a little bit about his prison, etc. Now he get to verse 14. To go back to verse 1, for this reason, now he gets back to verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Because in verse, in chapter 2 there, consequently you are no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. So he's speaking about the family of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as chief cornerstones. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. It doesn't collapse. This is the process. This is what the work of God is busy doing. This is why we are rising all the time. We are growing in strength. We're growing in Christ. We're growing in grace. It rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which you now live. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Now look what he says here. I pray that out of his glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. So here we see a prayer taking place. And he's praying, God, please by your Holy Spirit strengthen the inner man. Strengthen who we are in this body. Let your Holy Spirit give us strength. Why does he pray that? Why do you and I need the strength? First of all, for you and I, because he goes on and he says over there, let me just read that there, that he may strengthen you with power with his spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. First reason, so that Christ may dwell. Have you ever stopped and you start to think, okay, God, you've poured grace upon me. You've taken hold of me. We are now your dwelling place. And I cannot grasp the fact at this time. If I do grasp the fact, I want to run away for your son's fullness to live his life, to have such a freedom within me to do whatever he wants to do. No, now the strongholds of the mind, all the excuses of the mind, the fears, all that comes, whoa. You and I need the grace of God, the strength of the Holy Spirit to enable us to go through all these kind of excuses so that Christ in us can do whatever he wants to do in and through our lives. Can you see where we are? Understand the growth. Understand the call of God upon our lives. And for me, that's that. And when I meditate on this and God shares, for me, it's quite fearful at sometimes. Because I know he's going to stretch me. He's going to take me far beyond and I cannot have any excuses. Because there's a grace that says, God, your son took hold of my life. And I press into it, live in the fullness of what he took hold. And that requires a greater depth of surrender. That's why it's easy to surrender at the beginning when you give your life to Jesus. Because you don't know much. But the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And every time the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, there's a surrendering. Otherwise, we're hardening our hearts. And that truth will never be established in us, and our hearts are getting thick. And we're not becoming no longer sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to the voice of God, to the desires of God. Because our heart is thickened because of continually rejecting truth. Only he who does the will of God enters into the kingdom of God. And so God in his grace, because of how he's made us, he has given us the Holy Spirit. And this is a good prayer to pray. Father, you're speaking to us about more grace and for us to be able to live more and more in our purpose so that your son can have total freedom in our lives. But that makes me scared. Suddenly I think of lack, something I think of my inabilities. You know, it just goes around. There's a grace for God to strengthen our inner man, to build us up. And one of the areas that you can help yourself in building yourself up is actually praying in the Spirit. Very, because that builds us up tremendously, abiding in him all the time. And so he goes on and he says over here, and I pray that you, first of all, with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So when we leave here, Lord, you have freedom to do whatever you want. Let's be brave. It's good to pray this prayer for one another and for ourselves. God, give us the strength. Strengthen this inner man. Strengthen my soul. My spirit may be willing, but my soul is fearful and intimidated. My soul For me, as I've shared many times, very often we have a sense of false humility. And when God wants to do something, we've got all this no, all this religious excuses of why not to do these things. No. That we've gone beyond that now, okay. And he carries on and he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Because the Holy Spirit is strengthening our inner man so that Christ can really live in his fullness in that. The result of that is that you and I begin to really understand that we are rooted and established in his love because he fully dwells within us. We've given him, he's not in pieces, he's always been with us, but we're allowing him now to really have his own way in and through our lives. And as a result of that, no greater love than to lay down your life, and I call you friends because we live in his great love for us. And he wants us, his prayer to strengthen our inner man is to enable us to be able to know that we are rooted and established in this incredible love of Christ Jesus. Secure place. We need God to strengthen our inner man to grasp that. Otherwise we look at circumstances and be fearful. So we need the grace of God. We need the Holy Spirit's ministry in this area. A wise person will pray this prayer. And he carries on so that, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and deep and is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So once again, we see here, God needs to strengthen us by the Holy Spirit so that not only do we realize that we are rooted in this, but now we're able to comprehend, we're able to grasp, we're able to take hold and understand what this love is all about. The strength, the width, the height, the length of this incredible love of God. We need the Holy Spirit. Some of you may have experienced more and more of the revelation of God's love. And I can tell you, you want to run away. It's too powerful, it's too pure, it's too holy, it's too good. You've never experienced such a purity in this world. But God's love is so pure, it's hard to live in that. We need God to strengthen our inner man to be able to know we are established and to be able to grasp and to experience and to live in the fullness of this incredible love. So for the body of Christ to come out of being wimpy and fearful and intimidated and complaining about everything, to the body of Christ that is rooted and established in this love of Christ and knows how much they love, that nothing will separate from the love of Christ, this is a good prayer to pray for the body of Christ, for our own lives, to be secure in the love of Jesus. And we need the Holy Spirit to strengthen our inner man in this area. Our spirit is willing, but our soul and our body is pretty weak many, many times. And then he says over here, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be full to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now we can see why we need God to strengthen our inner man. To be full to the fullness. And that's why right in the beginning again, can we say, Jesus, who you are, your greatness, we sang, he's wonderful, his counselor, mighty God. By your spirit you've made your dwelling within us. The fullness of God within the body of Christ. I want to work with that with you, Jesus. You've taken hold of our lives, Jesus. You've brought this as a reality that now you come and dwell and the Father may come and make their dwelling within us by the Holy Spirit. You purchase us, we belong to you.
Can you see the depths of surrender here? Beyond our fear barriers now. And we need this grace of God. We need Holy Spirit to strengthen us to be able to surrender even more than we ever surrendered. And guess what? A couple of months' time, it's going to be a deeper surrender because the Holy Spirit's going to give more truth because we are growing. We're growing into the fullness of what Jesus took hold of for our lives. And there's a continuous surrendering all the time in our lives. We need the grace of God. That's why let us receive, understand it's God's provision. Let us receive and understand that it's His grace that enables us to be able to be strengthened, to be able to follow, to be able to say yes. It's His mighty work within us. It is God who wills in us to act according to His perfect will and purpose. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. So the call upon our lives today, and it's been for a while now, is to recognize the grace of God upon our lives. Because verse 20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." And this is a prayer, the answer to the prayer. Whatever we ask for in His name, this is the will of God for our lives. So whatever we are asking Him, we know that He's going to answer. And this is why, as we pray these prayers for ourselves and for the body of Christ, we know that it's God who is at work within us to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine. We're sharing a lot, as I've shared just now, about the strongholds of the mind. And remember, with the stronghold of the mind, there's a strong man that lives in that stronghold. And that strong man that Jesus refers to as a demon spirit, that can be speaking into our mind all the time and making, and we are agreeing with what this demon is saying and making all kinds of excuses. "I'm not good enough. I'm this, I'm that, Alexa, blah, 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 blah." And be in agreement with that demon spirit, but truth demolishes that fortress that we built to protect us from stepping out more and more. Today, God's demolishing those as we take hold of truth. And we're saying, "Yes, Lord." So you don't know what your tomorrow is going to be like. But it's going to be risky. Because we said, "God, yes." We said, "Your fullness to be released. You must have the freedom in our lives." So we don't know. All we know is that Jesus is going to have freedom in our lives. And where that's going to lead us, because the Father is always at work. And we too, with Jesus, are working. So we're back to where Jesus explains in John 14, "My Father is always at work. Just look at the fruit. It's the Father working through me." And He goes on and He says, "But those who believe in me will do even greater works than these." So, look forward to your tomorrow. I'm looking forward to my tomorrow. Because I don't know about you, but I'm committed to discover more of this grace of God and to live in that grace that God has provided. I don't want that grace to go in vain. I want to live in that fullness. And I hope we're all in agreement for that as well. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Father, we thank You today. And we come, Lord, and we want to pray this prayer that is written in Your word. So we kneel before You, Father, from whom Your whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. And today, Father, we pray that out of Your glorious riches, please strengthen us with power through Your Holy Spirit in our inner man. Through faith, Father, so that Christ may dwell
and truly have so much freedom in our hearts as we receive this by faith today. Father, we pray that we may be rooted and established in love, and as a result of being rooted and established in love, as a result of you empowering our inner man, we may have now the power, together with all the other believers around the world, Father, to be able to comprehend, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is this love of Christ, that we may know this love of Christ Jesus, Father, and that we may know this love that surpasses our knowledge, so that we today, in the body of Christ, we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of you, God. And we want to thank you as we conclude this and take hold of what you say over here. Now to you, Father, is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine today, according to your mighty power that is at work within us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your work within us. Thank you. You are at work. The Father is at work to this very day, and you too, Holy Spirit, you are working in our lives according to your power that is at work within us. So, Father, to you be the glory in our lives and through our lives, and in your Son, Jesus Christ, as he lives his life in fullness through our lives, throughout all generations, forever and ever. And this, Father, we ask in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.